Listening to his word this morning. I'm going to give you a test. Are you ready? This is Theology 101. It's just a one question test. And there it is. Is Jesus God or man? The answer to that question is yes, he is both. He is both God and man. He is the God-man. He is God that came in human flesh. The prophet Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." When Isaiah said a child is born, he's speaking of his humanity. When he said a son is given, he's speaking of his deity. He is the God-man. He was born in Bethlehem, but he ruled from eternity. He did not have his beginning in Bethlehem. He just had his birth there. And as the star pointed the way to where the child was in the Christmas story, we also realize that there's a darker side to Christmas. Not the stars, but the scars. Because as a man, he was born to die. As God, he died for our sins. Can you think this morning of a God with scars? You see the little baby in the manger, and you see those little dimpled feet. One day those feet would be pierced with spikes. You see those chubby little hands and those pink fingers. They will one day bear scars. Now the time for us, the real scripture that I want to look at is in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29, if you would start making your way there. Jesus has lived a sinless life. He's been falsely accused. He's been butchered on a cruel cross. He's been put into a grave, and that grave has been sealed with a stone. Yet on the third day, he rises. He comes out of the grave a victorious living Savior. He appeared to his disciples and showed himself alive. But Thomas was not there when he first appeared. So 8 days later, Jesus appears again. And here is the passage for us in John chapter 20, beginning with verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were with him and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Now I want us to consider the scars of the Lord Jesus. And they're not incidental. In fact, they are so fundamental that Jesus carried those scars with him to heaven. Do you know that the only man-made thing in heaven will be the scars that Jesus bears? When Jesus went back to heaven, he took some souvenirs from his visit here on earth. Those souvenirs are the scars in his hands and the scar in his side. He has kept those scars as a lasting memorial of his humanity, and he will bear them for all of eternity. And when Jesus comes again, one of the ways that we will know him is by the prints of the nails in his hands. In Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6, the prophecy was given, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." This is a passage talking about the second coming of Jesus. He will bear the wounds. Where did you get those wounds? Jesus will say, "I was wounded in the house of my friends. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him, but they rejected him. When he comes again, he will come bearing those precious scars. And so there's the scars of Christmas. There are things that we need to understand about the Lord Jesus Christ, and some things that we can learn about him through these scars. The first thing is that we can learn is that the scars tell us that as a man, Jesus suffered. Now, it's very important that you understand this, that as a man, in his humanity, Jesus suffered. John chapter 20 and verse 27, Jesus had invited Thomas to examine those scars. They are a brute testimony to the fact that Jesus was indeed pierced with those hideous nails or spikes in his hands and in his feet. You know, we have a great problem today when we try to testify about God. And some people think the debate is really about science. I don't think science is the primary debate. Some people say, well, let's debate history. And no, that's not really the debate that needs to be settled. The debate is primarily over suffering. And people will ask you again and again, how can you believe in a God? If there is a God, how can you believe in a God when there is so much suffering that is going on in this world? And it causes a great amount of doubt simply because of the way the human mind works. Some people say, well, if God is love and God is all powerful, then why does he allow so much suffering? And so they think that, well, perhaps he's a God of infinite love, but he doesn't have enough power. And therefore, he's a weak God. Or some think that he is all powerful, but he has no love. And so he's a cruel God. Or perhaps others even think that he has no power and no love, so he is no God at all. That's just the way people think. But there's a greater question. And it helps explain why people suffer. The greater question is not why do men suffer, but why does God suffer? The question is not why do we as humans suffer, but why does God allow himself to be scarred? And why would he suffer in a human flesh? Isaiah 53:3, speaking of Jesus. Oops, I lost it somehow. There's no more slides? Oh. I must have started and forgot to finish. You'll have to listen, I guess. In all their affliction, talking about us, he was afflicted. He was afflicted. Not only did Jesus suffer when he was here, but I have some information for you this morning. God is still suffering. So how can God suffer? Let me give you a verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Did you notice the word grieved? Have you ever grieved? You know that grief is a form of suffering, isn't it? It's a form of emotional suffering, and God in heaven suffers. He still suffers. Now you can understand that. What father does not suffer when he has a wayward son or a wayward daughter? That's what the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 is all about. And God suffers when his children wander from him. The grieve is a love word. So you can only grieve somebody that you love. Your lawnmower might vex you, but you don't grieve over your lawnmower. Your children will grieve you because you love them. And by the way, that verse in Ephesians 4:30 is a great verse to teach on the personality of the Holy Spirit. The next time a Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door and tells you that the Holy Spirit is not a person, but rather the Holy Spirit is just an influence that's sent from God, you say, well, can an influence grieve? An influence can't be grieved. Only a person can be grieved. Only one with personality can be grieved. And God grieves because he loves us. Grief is a love word. And God suffers. Now, let me ask you a question. Does the head suffer when the body feels pain? Of course it does. And Jesus is the head of the body. He's the head of the church. We're his body. When we suffer, our Lord suffers along with us. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When Saul was persecuting the church, Jesus appeared to Saul and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he could have said, "Lord, I'm not persecuting you, I'm persecuting these Christians." But friends, when Christians are persecuted, Jesus is persecuted. And when the body hurts, the head hurts. We're the bride, Jesus is the groom. If the bride is unfaithful to the groom, why would the groom not grieve? When the church is unfaithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, his heart is, it's broken. So Jesus suffers. He suffers as a man suffers. The scars tell us that he suffered. So here's the big question. Why? Why would an almighty, all-powerful God who could do anything that he ever wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it, why would he choose to suffer? The second point of the message this morning, sorry, I'm used to this. I've got it written out here, so I must have copied the wrong file. The scars of Jesus, number one, tells us that as a man, he suffered. Number two, the scars of Jesus tell us that as a man, he sympathizes. He sympathizes. Those scars that we read about in John chapter 20 and verse 27 tells us that Jesus understands. When I go into a home or I go into a hospital or somewhere where there's been a death or a tragedy, some great loss a family has experienced, I'm very careful. I never try to say, "I understand." Because you know what? I don't understand. And people might say, "No, you don't understand." And they would be right. Because they really can't understand the depth of their hurt. Nobody knows the pain of the human heart except for Jesus. And he suffers right along with those that suffer. How many of you, when you go on vacation, you go somewhere, you buy a souvenir to remind you of the place you've been? Anybody do that? Those scars that Jesus has are like souvenirs. It's a reminder, not only to him, but it's a reminder to us that he has been here, that he walked among us. He went to heaven, but he brought some souvenirs from earth back to heaven with him. And those souvenirs, those scars remain in his hands, in his feet, in his side. And it reminds us again that he has felt our hurts and he understands our pain. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 17 and 18 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren," that is, Jesus, "to be made like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered," notice that, "he himself has suffered, he himself hath suffered being tormented," that means being tested, "he is able to succor," S-U-C-C-O-R. That's an old-fashioned word. It means to help. To help those who are tempted or tested. So here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, when you suffer, I suffer. And not only do I suffer, but I understand. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have a high priest which can... And high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tested or tempted like as we are, yet without sin." In other words, he's been touched. He knows, he cares, he feels, he understands, and he loves. Dr. Brand was a missionary and a surgeon who spent a lot of time ministering to lepers in leper colonies. And Dr. Brand talked about the horrible sins of leprosy and the horrible conditions of leprosy. And he said one of the debilitating sins of leprosy is that it removes the ability of the human body to feel pain. See, a leper cannot feel pain. And then here's what he went on to say. He said, if I had the power to eliminate pain, I would not exercise that right. Pain's value is too great. Pain's value. We don't usually look at pain as something valuable, do we? But he says, pain's value is too great. Rather, I would lend all of my energies in doing all that I can to help when the pain turns to suffering. I want you to know that Jesus, as our Lord, he suffers with us. He sympathizes with us. And the pain that he feels alongside of us is really proof of his love. But after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said, cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground for your sake. I would expect him to say, cursed is the ground for your punishment. But he said, cursed is the ground for your sake, for your well-being, for your welfare. For your sake, thorns and thistles will it bring unto you. God put a curse on the environment in which we live, because the worst thing that could happen would be for us to have the sickness, the infection of sin, the guilt of sin, and feel no pain or no remorse or no repentance for it. That would be the worst thing. And so God allows suffering so that we would draw ourselves to him. Pain has value. In fact, I came up with three values for pain. One is that pain has a protecting purpose. There is a protecting purpose with pain. When you sprain your ankle or you hurt your foot, or what you want to do is you want to then shift your weight around to your other foot, your other ankle. You don't want to walk on that hurt ankle. Dr. Brand says a leper that doesn't limp when his leg is hurt because he feels no pain, he continues to walk on the wound, and that wounded part of the body never gets any rest. It never gets healed. When you turn your ankle and you feel pain, your body is healthy. The nerves in your body tell you, get off that ankle. Put your feet up. Or if you have to walk, walk putting the weight on the opposite angle. It tells us something is wrong. The second thing about pain is that it has a unifying purpose. There is a unifying purpose in pain. Pain draws us together. Your whole body comes to the aid of that suffering member. You ever hit your thumb putting in a nail or something? I mean, you hit it hard so that later it's black and blue. I know what you did. Here's what you did. The first thing that you did is you used your other hand to grab your hurt thumb. And then you know what you did? You put that thumb in your mouth and you sucked it. And then the third thing you did? Ow, that hurts! Right? Why are you doing a jig like that? Your knee didn't hurt. But see, your whole body comes to the aid of that hurt member, right? Your whole body suffers with that piece that has been hurt. And so there's a unifying purpose in pain. You know what? Honestly, I believe to tell if we have a healthy church is if one member is suffering, the other members are hurting right alongside of it. There is, thirdly, a correcting purpose in pain. Dr. Brand said that the lepers who would smoke cigarettes sometimes would smoke the cigarette right on down until the fire in the cigarette would burn their fingers, and they'd continue to smoke and burn their flesh because they couldn't feel any pain. Do you know that God allows pain to protect us? And if it weren't for the pain, we would never know that we're being hurt. You put your hand on a hot stove. There's a message that immediately goes up to the brain and says, ooh, that's hot. You better take your hand off that hot stove. Now, we don't think about all those things, but it happens so quickly that that's exactly what we do. Pain tells us something's wrong. We need to form some kind of correction here. Pain comes in all forms. There's physical pain. There's emotional pain. There's spiritual pain. And Americans want to kill pain at any cost. And that's the reason why there's so many sedatives and the reason kids get on drugs. Often it's to try to kill the pain. That's the reason adults even are on drugs, to kill the pain. Now, there's a legitimate use for medicine. I'm not saying there's not. But some people are just trying to dull the sensibilities, and young people don't get along with parents, so they turn to drugs. And sometimes parents don't know how to cope and live with life, and so they turn to drugs. Some turn to alcohol, trying to kill the pain. A man who's drunk says, I'm feeling no pain. All I want to do is drown my sorrows, drown my troubles. Well, the problem is troubles can swim, right? There's a Japanese proverb that says, first a man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes the man. The problem in the world today is that the world needs a savior. The world has a savior. They need to recognize Jesus as such. And the pain in the world is there to tell us that something is wrong with this world. People need Jesus. Now, Jesus gives us peace, not primarily to remove the pain. He'll do that at the rapture, but to endure the pain. And when we see the scars in the hands of a Savior who loved us enough to die on a cross as testimony of his humanity, we see a God with scars today. They tell us that God, as a man, suffers. They tell us that God, as a man, sympathizes. He knows how we feel. He understands. He hears the cries of the blind beggar before he hears the cries of a proud Pharisee. But the third thing, not only do the scars of Jesus tell us that, as a man, Jesus suffered, and that as a man, Jesus sympathizes. But thirdly, as a man, Jesus saves. And it's so important that you understand this. Why was he nailed to that hellish cross? Why did he step out of glory? Why did he allow himself to be pierced? Why are those nails put into those quivering hands and those precious feet? Because the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no forgiveness of sins. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we're healed, we're saved. I want to remind you, friend, that Jesus did not have to suffer. He could have refused the cross. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down myself. He was the only one who had no sin in himself. He could have refused death. But those nails that held him to the cross were there because of his great love. He did not have to suffer, but he chose to suffer so that he could save. Let me ask you a question. Those of you who have children and your children are suffering, or they get into trouble of some sort, they're having pain and you know about it, would you not move in to do something about their pain? Suppose you and your wife or you and your husband are celebrating an anniversary. Suppose you've saved up your money for years and you're taking the trip that you've always wanted to take. How about Hawaii? A lifetime of planning, a dream vacation, and you're in a hotel in Hawaii and your children are here at home, and one of your children is in an automobile accident. Would you want your vacation interrupted to know that your child's been in an accident? Yes, you would. There's not a parent here, there's not a mom and dad here that wouldn't want to know, that wouldn't want to just go on living in oblivion. You know what you would do? You would leave your vacation immediately so that you could go home to be with your suffering child. Now, theoretically, before we left, we might have said, now, kids, we're going to Hawaii, and I don't want you to call for any reason, right? We might say that. We're interested in that part in our time and our joy and in having a good time. But no, if our child is hurting, we hurt. And if we can do something about it, we would do anything that we could. And even if we couldn't do anything about it, we would still want to be there so that we could hurt and suffer with them. So the question is, again, not why does man suffer? The question is, why does God suffer? And I'll tell you why God suffers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He suffers because he loves us. He loves us. There was a wayward boy who had so disgraced his parents, and they'd given him chance after chance after chance, and he had failed and embarrassed them and hurt them and wounded them and refused them and rebelled against them. And one man whose son this was talking to another man, and the other man gave this suffering father this advice. He said, I'll tell you what I would do if that were my son. Here's what I would do. And this man giving advice to the brokenhearted father was telling him how he would just cast this son off and be done with him and seal him off. And he said, if that's my son, that's what I would do. And this father said, yes, and if he were your son, that's what I would do. But he's not your son, he's my son. And I can't do that because he's my son. And friend, God loves you. God would never cast you off. He is pursuing you this morning. There's no one here that God does not love. And there's no one here that God does not want to save. And you see, God came in human flesh. And the question is, why does God suffer? He suffered so that he could be a suffering Savior. So that he could be a sympathizing Savior. So that he could be the Savior of the world. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You notice that God was in Christ. Why did God choose to become a man? Because our dominion was lost by a man, lost by Adam. So it had to be legally regained by a man. 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You say, well, I didn't vote for Adam, so I don't think I should be held responsible for his sin. You ought to be grateful, dear friend, that God, who not only counts the human race guilty in Adam, also counts the human race justified for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that I have redemption in Jesus, that Jesus did for me what I could not do for myself. You know, I'd really rather be a saved sinner than an innocent angel. You know, there's not an angel that can say amazing grace. In Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. Now listen to this, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, for we see Jesus. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What do the scars tell me? The scars tell me that Jesus saves. He died to be my Savior. He has the wounds. He has the scars to prove it. Before you have a child of your own, you think of the great love the Savior had when he died for us. But when you have a child of your own, you think of the love of the Father who gave his Son. And it's true, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. God was in Christ. He was God. He was fully God, but he was also fully man. In his humanity, Jesus died for us. As God, he was sinless, but as a man, he suffered because he became our substitute. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So think not only of the stars, but the scars of Christmas. Jesus came to earth that we might go to heaven. Jesus was born of a virgin that we might be born again. Jesus became the Son of Man that we might become the sons and the daughters of God. Jesus died that we might live. The scars tell us that. The scars tell us that as a man, Jesus suffered, sympathizes, and saves. Now let me come to the conclusion of the message this morning. I want to lay something on your heart. Jesus had some scars. But if you follow Jesus, you will too. God only had one son without sin. But he has many sons who suffer. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says that I may know him. What do you want to know about him, Paul? Well, I want to know about the power of his resurrection. Me too. Me too, Paul. I want to know about the power of his resurrection. What else do you want to know about him, Paul? I want to not only know, I want to fellowship in his sufferings. If you think you're going to get out of this world unscarred, it's not going to happen. There's no fine print in the contract once you become a Christian that all your problems are going to be over with. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, I bear in my body the marks or the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bear in my body the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul could have been taking that literally because he was beaten. His back was bloody and lacerated. And I'm sure he had some physical scars because he served Christ. But that's not really what he was saying here, because the word is stigmata. And the word literally means, I bear in my body the nails of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, church. Your greatest ministry will be your scars. Your scars, it's what's going to cause people to believe in Christ. Thomas said, unless I see those scars, unless I'm able to touch those scars, I won't believe. Jesus said, Thomas, come here. Take your fingers. Put your fingers here. See my scars? Thomas, give me your hand. Take your hand. Put it in my side. See the scars? You know what a scar is? A scar is a wound that has been healed. And Thomas sees that and he says, my Lord and my God. Thomas had seen Jesus die. He had seen them take his body from the cross and put it in a grave and roll the stone in front of it. Oh, but when Thomas saw the scars, he believed. And when the world sees our scars, church, they're going to believe. When they are able to hear us testify, oh, you know, yeah, I've had some scars in life. I've been wounded in life. I've been hurt. Things have happened to me. I've been left bleeding. I've been left hurt. But let me tell you, Jesus comes and he has healed those wounds in my life. And here, give me your hand. Here's the scars to prove that Jesus has healed me. I'll tell you, when that happens, people will then believe. You're here today, you're hurting. You've got pain. You've got some wounds. Maybe you've got some open wounds today. You know what I want you to do? I want you to come and bring them to Jesus. Just bring them to Jesus. Just bring them to the Savior, because he's suffering right alongside of you today. He is sympathizing with you today. He wants to save you. He wants to heal you. He wants to do something about those wounds, and he'll take and heal those wounds, and they can become scars. They become marks of ownership for him. And you could say right along with the Apostle Paul, I bear in my body the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want you to picture this morning, I want you to picture Jesus sitting in heaven in his majesty, but I want you to picture those scars. See the scars in his hands? See the wounded side where the spear went in? Take a look at those hands today. You know what those hands are doing? They are outstretched. They are reaching down. That's what the hands of Jesus are doing today. Thank God, as Isaiah said, his hands, his arm is not too short that it cannot reach down and heal. And as Jesus is reaching down to you, take your hand and put your hand in the nail-scarred hand. And say, Jesus, I've got some wounds, but I know that you understand. I know that you care, and I know that you love me like nobody else can. Jesus, would you heal my wounds? And I will use my scars. Jesus, heal my wounds. And I will use my scars. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? If you're here today and you've never put your hand in the hand of Jesus for salvation, I'd encourage you to do that this morning. That's where it needs to begin. Christian, again, I just want you to picture the outstretched arm of God, of Jesus. Would you take your hand, put it in his nail-scarred hand, and say, thank you, Jesus, that as a man you suffered. Thank you, Jesus, that as a man you sympathized. Thank you, Jesus, that as a man you saved. He just didn't do that in the past tense, though. If you need him today, if you're suffering, he's suffering along with you. If you need sympathy, he will sympathize with you today. Just reach out and take the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. Put your hand in his. And then would you say one more thing? Jesus, heal my wounds and use my scars. Heal my wounds, use my scars. See, it's the only thing really that's going to make sense out of suffering. It's going to redeem suffering in your life. Why did you suffer? So that Jesus could bring you to himself, and so that he could use you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Can I ask you to commit today? Can I ask how many say, look, Pastor, I'm doing that. I'm saying to Jesus, heal my wounds. And at the same time, I'm saying, use my scars. Could I see your hand today? Could I pray with you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we don't even really know how to begin to thank you. for all that you have done for us. But Lord, we do thank you. Words are inadequate, but we thank you. Lord, we pray today you would take each life, each scar that we have, to bring others to you in the midst of this suffering world that needs you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's enter in this song this morning.
History itself belongs to you. Alpha and Omega, you have loved me, and I will share eternity with you. It's all about you. The glory and your fame. It's not about me, although you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to your ways.
We're going to have communion this morning, so if the guys are going to help serve, would please come. Yes. Excellent. We were going to pray for him. I was going to pray for him during the communion part. Yeah, Dick has multiple bypass surgery tomorrow. So we want to pray for him. And just pray that God will use these wounds that turn into a scar for his glory for Dick. So guys, would you come, please? And we will work communion the way we do. Come down the outer aisles, get your communion emblems, go to the center aisles, to your seats. If you would want to just stay seated today and have the guys serve you, that'll be fine. I know sometimes some have a hard time making it to front. If you want to sit there, we'll make sure that you get served before we partake. Otherwise, would you stand, please? And let's just begin to make our way down to the front and receive our emblems this morning. Donnie, are you going to go?
I can.
Okay, I'll give that to Glenn then. Give that one to you. There's less in them. And then to remind you, the gluten-free are on the table here.
Measure what your worth.
Can you pray for Cassie too?
Okay, did everyone get served? If you didn't, raise your hand, we'll make sure you get served. Sherry, did you get? Okay, you did. All right. The Lord Jesus must have looked back on the night in which he was betrayed when he had the Last Supper with his disciples. He must have looked back and said, you know, this is the reason that I came into the world. It was all for this. And it was. Was all came down to him dying on the cross for our sins. And as he looked at the table and he saw the bread, he said, that bread is like my body. You know, I'm going to bear in my body the sins of the world. And Jesus died for every sin. He who knew no sin took our sins upon him. He didn't have to die. He was sinless. But he became the sin bearer so that he could forgive, that he could forgive many. So he said to his disciples, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he said, the cup is it's the new covenant. I'm going to establish a new testament, a living testament. Because I don't plan on just dying. I plan on being raised again in resurrection power. The death was necessary. The shedding of the blood was necessary. But in order for Jesus to conquer the death in the grave, he had to rise again. Paul said, oh, I'd love to know that. Love to know the power of his resurrection. But we can't understand the power of the resurrection without the fellowship of his sufferings. And today we do want to pray for Dick. And we want to pray for Cassie, who's having a biopsy from this week because she's got some swollen lymph nodes. And I know Jennifer Yuza has some health problems where she's going to have to quit work. They're so bad. And so here's what I'd like us to do. We talked today about suffering alongside one with another. When one member of the body hurts, we all hurt. If you are hurting today, other than the three that I mentioned, plus, if you're here today and there's a heartache in your life, there's a problem, there's a wound, would you raise your hand, raise it up, and then keep it up? Okay, now I want the rest of you, please do this. Please find somebody, and we'll go lay a hand on them. Guys, maybe you could do that too. I want to make sure everybody who's got their hand raised has a hand laid on them. Everybody, raise them up. Keep them up. Tanya needs somebody there. Chad's there. But, you know, go ahead. Yeah, just go ahead. Leave your emblems here. I think it's important that we do this. Hey, Glenn, Lori Baker over there. Would you go to Lori? You could, too, if you want. Go for it. Anyone else? Anybody with Jennifer there? You would like some? Sue, turn around there. Dave, could you just turn around to Jennifer there? And where's Fran Linhog?
She left.
She had to leave? Okay. We don't have to remember Dick, too. But let's pray. Father, today, we thank you for the privilege of being part of the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, I thank you today that you are the head of the body. And I know, Lord, that when the other parts of the body feel pain, the head feels the pain as well. Lord Jesus, you're suffering along with these today that are suffering. We ask, Lord Jesus, that they would feel the touch of the person that is praying for them, standing in with them, sharing in their sufferings. But also, Lord, I pray that they would feel the touch of Almighty God today. Lord, that you would extend your hand out of heaven. It is not too short that it cannot reach down and save and heal. And we thank you for that today. Lord, I pray that you would place your nail-scarred hand on each one that is suffering today. Lord, it might be physical, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual. But Lord, you know and you understand. And you understand completely and you love them. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work. Lord, that you would come and that you would bring healing, that you would heal these wounds. And yes, Lord, at times they leave scars, but even these scars then would be used to bring honor and glory to you. We pray for Dick as he faces this multiple bypass tomorrow. Lord, that you would be with him, that you would bring healing through the surgery and through the doctors and the surgeons and all that are involved. Lord, anoint them that they would do their best work. Lord, that everything would go well, that you would be the great physician, the great doctor in that room, the surgeon guiding the hands of those that are involved, that you would place your hands on their hands. We pray for Cassie, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that a good report would come back from the doctor. Lord, we don't know why the lymph nodes are swollen, but Lord, we ask that if there is a problem that you would heal her even now. Lord, that by your stripes, Cassie is healed. We thank you, Lord. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes, we're healed. We pray for Jennifer today. Lord, is suffering in her neck and her wrists and Lord, all kinds of body aches. Lord, you know exactly where the problems are. She's had MRIs. You know exactly where the problems are. I pray, Lord, that you would touch Put your hand upon the problem, Lord, and healer. Lord, we thank you for the pain because you've showed there that something's wrong. But now we pray, Lord, that you would move in as the healer and not just take away the pain, but the problem as well. And yes, Lord, we do thank you that you are Emmanuel. We thank you that you are God with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. His name is called Emmanuel.
God with us, revealed in us. His name is
And then you can be dismissed to go down to the fellowship hall. God bless you.